Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Srivastava Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Read from the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 20 The Rainy Season and Autumn Text number 20 Mega Agama Utsava Rishta Pratyanandan Shikandina Griheshu Tapta Nirvina Yata Achuta Jana Agame Megagamotsava Rishta Pratyanandan Chikin Chikandina Kriheshu Tapta Niravina Itachuta Janagame Megagamotsava Rishta Pratyanandam Chikandina Viheshu Tapta Nirvina Itachuta Janagame Mega of clouds Agama Because of the arrival. Utsava, who celebrate a festival. Rishta,
becoming joyful.
Pratyanandan, they cried out in greeting. Shikandina, the peacocks. Griheshu, within their homes. Tapta,
those who are distressed.
Nirvina, and then become happy. Yata,
just as.
Achuta, the infallible personality of Godhead. Jana, of the devotees. Agame, upon the arrival. Purport and translation purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The peacocks become festive and cried out in a joyful greeting when they saw the clouds arrive. Just as people distressed in household life feel pleasure when the pure devotees of the infallible Supreme Lord visit them. Purport. After the dry season, the peacocks become jubilant with the arrival of the first thundering rain clouds, and thus they dance in great happiness. Srila Prabhupada comments, we have practical experience that many of our students were dry and morose previous to their coming to Krishna consciousness, but having come in contact with devotees, they are now dancing like jubilant peacocks. So this is from the light of the Bhagavat. When the clouds appear in the sky, the peacocks begin to dance in ecstasy as the sincere soul becomes overwhelmed with joy with the appearance of a saint at his house. Shubhra's purport. The duty of sages and saints is to go from door to door and thus enlighten the householders in spiritual knowledge. Householder life is compared to a dark well. In a dark well, the frog cannot see the free light of the open sky. The dark well of household life kills the soul. One should therefore get out of it so he may see the light of spiritual vision. Saints and sages mercifully try to uplift the fallen souls from the dark well of householder life. An enlightened householder therefore takes pleasure in the appearance of such saints and sages at his house. The mind of the householder, who is a conditioned soul, is always disturbed by the threefold miseries of material life. Everyone wants to be happy in his householder life, but the laws of nature do not allow one to become happy in material existence, which is like a spontaneous forest fire. In the age of Kali, as described before, people in general no longer take pleasure in the presence of sages and saints, nor are they interested in spiritual enlightenment. The saints and sages, however, take all risks to propagate the message of Godhead. Lord Jesus Christ, Thakur Haridas, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and many such sages risk their life to propagate the message of Godhead. Self-realized saints and sages take such risks for the spiritual enlightenment of the people in general. They do not take vows of silence meant to win cheap glory from the ignorant mass of people. God is satisfied only when his devotees take all sorts of risks to propagate his glories. Such devotees are unafraid of the difficult journey to cross the ocean of nescience. They are always anxious for the welfare of the fallen souls or attached to the false enjoyment of materialistic life, in which they forget their eternal relation with God. It is the duty of the saints and sages to enlighten the fallen souls, and reciprocally, it is the duty of the householder to receive the saints and sages cordially. As the peacock dances in ecstasy at the presence of clouds in the sky, the fire of threefold miseries experienced by materialistic men can be extinguished only by the cloud of mercy of the saints and sages who can pour down the water of transcendental messages to put an end to the miseries of the householders. Just a little note here. Those who are not aware, we have our new health and welfare magazine. It has articles on different types of health modalities, from Ayurveda, Pranayama. There's one on divine delivery, in case you're a postman. Herbal health. And there's different types of articles, philosophy coming from Prabhupada about health. And news. So if you like one of these, we ask for a $5 donation. It helps go defray the cost of printing. $5 Aussie. Usually it's $5 US, so you get a bargain here. Mom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadai Bhutai Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Bacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Sitarna. So this is the same philosophy that Prahlad Maharaj was preaching to his father when his father asked him, what is the best thing you've learned in school? So Prahlad Maharaj answered, as you probably know, the best thing I've learned in school, my dear father, is that you're number one fool. Tatsaramanye suryavarya dehinam sadasamudvigna dhyamasatrahat. He Hidvatma patam griham andakupam gato vanam gato yadharim ashriyeta. That anyone who's in the material world is definitely full of anxiety. Or as Prahlad Maharaj also says, Matirana Krishne Parataksatova Mito Bipadyeta Grihavratanam Adantago Bira Vishutam Tamizram Punat Punat Charvata Charvata Charvanana. So Matira means the consciousness. The Krishna, Matirana Krishna. Generally, no one wants to put their consciousness on Krishna. It's too much of a bothersome thing to do. But people are spending their lives putting their consciousness somewhere. Generally, they're putting their consciousness on trying to solve the problems of life, either personally or collectively or by a combination of both. Everyone's trying to solve the problems of life. And what are the problems of life? Matirana Krishne Parataksatova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Ratana. So this is Griha Ratana. So Griha means house. So it's not only people who are married, because nowadays everyone, married or not married, everyone wants to have a house. But Griha means house. So the first house everyone lives in is the body. And in order to take care of this house that we're living in, we get another house called a house. But actually, this body is just a house for the soul. You could say it's a house on two legs. It moves around. It's a portable house. But we are within this house, and we're being transported by the house. And bigger than the house that we're living in, this body or the house that we stay in, then we have another house called the community, the society, the city, the nation, whatever. You can expand it. But the whole idea is that if I have a nice house, I'll be happy. If my body's strong and healthy, nothing's falling apart, the roof is fixed, and everything else is going on, right? Then everything's fine. And then, in order to make this house stable and secure, I have to get another house, protect this house. And to get my house that I'm living in stable and secure, I have to have a nice society. So everyone's trying to protect one house after another. And why do we want to protect the house? Adanta go birvishatam tamizram punak punas charvita charvanana. Because we think we'll enjoy happiness if we gratify the different demands of the different houses. That if I make this body strong and healthy, I'll be happy. If I'm living in a nice house with nice air conditioning and the water's running, the lights are on, then I'll be happy. If everyone in my neighborhood has mowed their grass, I'll be happy. If somehow or another the city is working fine, then I'll be happy. We can expand it, but there are different varieties of so-called happiness depending upon which particular house we're looking at. But Prahlad Maharaj says it's adanta gobir vishitam tamizram. This is all based on ignorance. It doesn't matter how nicely our house is from this body upwards. Still, the soul will never be happy because the soul has nothing to do with the house. Therefore, the saints and sages, they go and remind us that we're not the house. We're the soul occupying the house, within the house, whatever house we're in. So by such information, the soul can find out what to do to get out of the false conception of life, of identifying oneself with the house. And therefore, Prabhupada says that it's the duty of the devotees, especially in this age, when there aren't so many sages and saints, those aspiring, just like if there is a big criminal problem in society, some big crime has been committed, then the sheriff, he goes and deputizes some of the ordinary people and makes them into deputized sheriffs, deputies they call them. So in this age, the saints and sages don't exist very much, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has deputized so many seemingly ordinary persons and given them the responsibility to clear up the criminal activities in modern society. Namely, everyone is madly stealing God's property and therefore becoming more and more implicated in their criminal activities. Maya, the universal police force, has arrested everyone, and in spite of that, everyone is trying to break out of the jail and being put more and more into secure, solitary confinement. Therefore, being deputized by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're trying to teach the prisoners in the material world how to become proper residents of the prison house so that one day they can become free, at least let out on parole for a while. Unfortunately, the prisoners think that they're free and everyone on the outside of the prison is in jail. That may appear like that. In our little prison cell, we think that this is the freedom, and everyone on the other side of the bars, they're in jail. Maybe a little bit bigger than my prison, but not that much bigger. So they've simply mistaken which side is free and which side is in prison. Therefore, the devotees or the aspiring devotees are supposed to go out and inform people about things that make sense. Unfortunately, common sense is very uncommon nowadays. Nor are people interested in these things. People want to build a better prison. It's just like a mouse trying to build a better mouse trap. Doesn't make sense, does it? But for a crazy mouse, it makes perfect sense. Similarly, in modern society, people are entangled, suffering the threefold miseries, and they want to figure out how to make a better entanglement so they can better experience the threefold misery. All in the name of happiness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this practical philosophy of Krishna consciousness, very simple philosophy actually. It is not very difficult to preach Krishna consciousness, especially since most people know nothing about Krishna consciousness. Even people born in India, they're supposed to know something basically about Krishna consciousness, but nowadays we find that they don't know anything. Hardly. It's like if you go on the street, meet persons from India, and you give them the book, at least most of them are not interested. This is exactly what they're not looking for. They've traveled all the way from India to Australia just so they don't have to be confronted by such persons like us. And then if you tell them about yoga, it's about yoga meditation, they're not so much disturbed. But if you say it's about Krishna consciousness, then they feel threatened. They say, oh, very nice. Thank you very much for the book. And then if you ask for donation, oh, no, no, I'll go to the mandir and give next year. Just wait for me there. So the point is that those persons even have the greatest access to Krishna consciousness. They've been trained up systematically how to avoid it. What to speak of everyone else who's been systematically trained up from birth how to avoid Krishna. Here in the West, Prabhupada said, we don't know anything about Krishna. Therefore, we have no defense if someone presents some philosophy. We have no immediate reason why to avoid Krishna, because we don't know anything about him. Just like we don't deny the existence of the demigods because we know nothing about them. Bill Smith down the block is about the same to us as Lord Shiva, for all we know, or Lord Brahma. So we have no reason to deny, nor do people have any think they have any reason to accept. But in India, they think, oh, Krishna, he was some lusty aborigine cowherd boy who from the very beginning of his life couldn't stop stealing. He was a known thief. His parents tried to chastise and train him properly, and he wouldn't listen to any of them. Simply, he got worse as time went on. Then he became a womanizer, running around the village, chasing after other people's wives. Still, they tried to correct him. Finally, they kicked him out of the village. Send him away. Went to some big city, and then killed the king there and took over the throne. And then the king's friends came to try to teach him some moral principles, and he killed them all. He became completely... Finally, due to his bad influence, his whole family got into a fight and killed each other. And then no one knows what happened to him. After some hunter came along and put an end to him, he disappeared. So this is what people think. How can you worship this boy? He was so lusty, he married 16,108 queens. That's after running around a village, chasing after an equal number of little gopis. So this is their idea. He was a thief, he was a womanizer, he was a killer. So how are you worshiping him? Of course, as Prabhupada said, if you mention that if Krishna was lusty, he married 16,108 ladies and lived with them all simultaneously, then he's unlimitedly lusty. He's not ordinarily lusty boy. He's unlimitedly lusty. No one could compare with him in any respect. He wasn't, in any case, however you want to look at him, he wasn't ordinary. But in order to actually understand Krishna, one has to hear from the devotees. Otherwise, one will misunderstand. Even sometimes the devotees, they like to watch these movies, Mahabharata and the Ramayana, but they're just made by non-devotees. Just because they say Krishna in it, we become all excited. You think, oh, this is bona fide because they said Krishna two times. We go to see some movie like Star Wars, if they say Krishna once, I think this has been purified the whole movie. It's authorized now. Or some rock album, if they just scream out Krishna in the background one time, then it's authorized to listen to it. I'm just listening to them chanting Hare Krishna in the movie. But the fact is that we should also be a little careful who's talking about Krishna and in what context they're putting Krishna. Generally, we should hear from the devotees. That will actually help us make progress and appreciate Krishna. Otherwise, we hear from non-devotees about Krishna, we may start developing more and more doubts about Krishna. Yeah, maybe he was a lusty coward boy from a primitive village in Vrindavan. If you go there now, it still looks pretty primitive. You know, there's so many pigs and dogs and hogs there, and all the sadhus are smoking ganja. This is his village. What kind of village is this? So from the external point of view, we'll misunderstand Krishna's activities, we'll misunderstand Vrindavan, we'll even misunderstand his devotees. Even Krishna himself, often, he misrepresents himself. When he's speaking to Rukmini, he says, my dear Rukmini, I think I'm going to leave you, because after all, you got a bad deal when you married me. And then he gives so many reasons why it was a bad deal. That he was a coward, he had to run away to a fort in the middle of the ocean, that no one really knows who he is. Some people think he was a Vaishya, some people think he's a Kshatriya, son of Nanda Maharaj, the son of Vasudeva. No one really knows about him. He's unknown. He didn't have very good manners. He was running around with all these ladies in Vrindavan. Suddenly he left them, whimsically, and came here. He might leave all these queens in Dwarka too. He's unreliable, untrustable. So even Krishna presents this philosophy. so that his devotees like Rukmini have to defeat it and show the actual position of Krishna. He, Tanana Maharaj, he preached Karma Mimamsa, materialism. He taught so many different things. Arjuna, he told before the battle of Kurukshetra, I shall not fight, and immediately broke his promise. So we have to understand Krishna, not only from Krishna's instructions, but also, most importantly, from the devotees of Krishna. Then we'll understand Krishna properly. So the fact that there are devotees in the society means that there is some possibility that there can be some progress in society. Otherwise, the society will continue to degrade itself at an ever more rapid rate. Because instead of the devotees going door to door, there's newspapers going door to door every day. Simply newspapers, magazines, in every home there's internet, there is television, videos, there is preaching going on everywhere, all to fall into Maya. Not only fall into Maya, but get more absorbed in Maya. So it's not only the devotees are going door to door, Maya is going door to door too, in ever increasing intensity. So without the devotees there, then there is no hope for society. They'll simply degrade very quickly into the most barbaric so-called society. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments, challenges? Yes.
In the Purport Maharaj, it says that the only way to please Supreme Personality of God is to go out of your way to preach His glories. Is that true for every devotee? Not every devotee is a traveling preacher or
well, everyone has to participate in the preaching. It's not that, just like the deity worship, it's not that the deity worship is not preaching. That's also preaching. So the whole temple here is supposed to be glorifying Krishna, which is preaching. Everyone has to participate, either directly or indirectly, if we want to make spiritual advancement. Just to chant Hare Krishna is also preaching. Go in Hare Nam, chant your japa, that's also preaching. So everything what we're doing is ultimately preaching. But Prabhupada especially wanted distribution of literature so that people can understand what we're doing. Otherwise they may misunderstand what we're doing. Or they may not understand how they themselves can participate. So the literature especially, and the devotees who are explaining the literature, help people understand how they themselves can participate also. Anything else? Yes.
In the Sangha Gauranga Bodhidharma, it's mentioned that in order to get the mercy of the Tanakh, one must be free from material desires.
Yes.
So that we need to get the selflessness to get free from material desires.
You need Lord Nityananda's, therefore you need Lord Nityananda's representative to tell you what to do. And when you agree to do it, then Lord Nityananda will give you his mercy. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Get them while they last.